Good morning, everyone. Today's daf in Erevin is daf Tess. We are continuing from yesterday's daf. Yesterday's daf was extraordinarily visually challenging, in that there was a lot of things that you need to see in order to really understand the daf. I always encourage you to get a copy of some sort of picture aid, the one that is most recent, that we've been using for the last 7 years. Maor Amavur, it has illustrations very well done, so I highly recommend it. We talked yesterday about various mavoos in terms of how to correct it. We had the last one we talked about was the mavoi that was like a centipede, mavoi kanadal, where you had one main street going down, and then you had all your side streets, and how do we view it? So again, according to Rav, any time a mavoi makes a turn, it's still considered mavoi mefulash. And so according to Rav, that would mean that you'd have to put a Tzuras HaPesach, and it was just a discussion yesterday, how exactly how to situate the Tzuras HaPesach so that it would be considered a separate mavo. So again, if you take a look at the picture, you can see very clearly how the conclusion of the Gemara arrived yesterday in terms of how to make a mavoi, how to make a Tzuras HaPesach. Basically, you're making it at every break in the mavoi, so that basically now you're going to end up with one street running straight through, and then all the side streets are themselves considered separate mavos. Okay, that was one thing we discussed yesterday. Another thing we discussed yesterday, which was really the end of yesterday's daf, was what if the two ends of the mavoi don't end at the same exact point? So in other words, there's a shortfall between one end of the mavoi and the other end of the mavoi. How exactly do we lay the korah down? The korah is going to have to come on a diagonal, and is that acceptable or is that not acceptable? So basically, the upshot of the conclusion of the Gemara yesterday is that the distance between, in other words, drawing parallel lines running from where the two ends meet, where the two ends are, and then seeing the distance between these parallel lines, if the distance between the parallel lines is anything greater than 4 amos, so then you cannot put a diagonal.
10 amos.
10 amos. No, I'm talking about the distance between. The distance between. If it's anything greater than 4 amos, okay, thank you. Anything distant greater than 4 amos, so then you can't put a diagonal. And what you're going to have to then do is you're going to have to go to the shorter end and put it on a 90-degree angle. And yeah, you'll be cutting off some of the mavoi, but that's what you have to do. And then we also learned that even if there is 4 amos, but there's a 10-ama distance when you're putting the beam on a diagonal, meaning on the triangle that we just created, the hypotenuse is greater than 10 amos, so then you can't do that. Once again, you got to go to the shorter end, put down a 90-degree angle, and cut off the mavoi, if you will. Okay, these are all the discussions that we had yesterday. We're continuing the Gemara today. We're on Chesamud Beis, and we are Ibailahu, two-thirds of the way down. Ibailahu, Ma'li, Shamish, Tachas, HaKorah. How can I go directly underneath the area of the Korah? It sounds familiar. It sounds like we touched this subject a little bit earlier before, but the Gemara deals with this question head-on. So in other words, again, the korah, the whole purpose of the korah is to be misakein the mavoi so that I can carry in the mavoi. So up to the korah, I understand. How about directly underneath the korah? Rav Rabbi Chiv, Rav Yochanan Amram, what to lishamash tachas the korah? Shmuel v'Rabbi Shmuel b'Rabbi. Rav Shema Melakish Amram, also lishamash tachas the korah. So we have a major machlokus amongst the Amoraim. Three on one side, three on the other side, whether or not you got to go directly underneath. So lema b'hakam eflugi, so the Gemara suggests, perhaps we got it. We have what could be argued as an nekudas hamachlokas. Marsav akara mishum heker, marsav akara mishum mechitza. Remember now, this is a classic discussion of how to understand the korah. Korah either operates as a heker, it helps you remember, recognize, oh yeah, I can't carry past this point in time. Meaning, because if I carry past this point, I'm in the Rosh Hasharabim, so it's there to help you remember. Or korah acts as a mechitza, meaning it actually serves as a fourth wall of the mavoi. Now, in this way of presenting it, which side would everyone land on? So if it operates as a mechitza, so at this point, what the Gemara is thinking is, what part of the korah is serving as a mechitza? It's the outer part of the korah, which comes down, flushes down, and basically seals off the mavoi. So that would mean that you'd be allowed to use the area directly underneath the korah. And at this point, what the Gemara is thinking is that if it operates because of a heker, well, I have to look up and see it. I can't look directly up and see it. So it must be that I can only go up to the korah, but not underneath the area of the korah. That's what the Gemara right now is thinking in terms of how to explain this machlokus between these six amoraim. Lo, the Gemara says, not necessarily. Dekulei amakor mishum heker. Everyone's in agreement that korah operates as a heker. V'achabak miflgi marsav a heker milagav v'marsav a heker milabar. And it's just a question of how does Hecker work? Does Hecker work from the inside or does Hecker work from the outside? And so they could just simply be arguing about the functionality of a Hecker. How exactly does a Hecker work? Or we can go the other direction. It's clear that the Gemara really doesn't want to take a very strong position. The Gemara apparently feels that both statements are true, so the Gemara operates within both statements. We could say that's a mechitza. And now, as I described just a couple of minutes ago, the question is, if Korah operates as a mechitza, the Gemara now is suggesting that perhaps what we're arguing is, what's sealing off the mavui? Is it the outer part of the Korah, or is it the inner part of the Korah? Meaning it's certainly an edge of the Korah. That the Gemara is a given. It's just now a question of which side of the Korah, the outer or the inner, and that could very well be the machlokas. If it's the outer, so then I can go up to and including the area underneath the Korah. If it's the inner portion of the Korah, which is sealing off the area, that's what's creating the mechitza. Obviously, then the answer would be no. I can't use the area underneath. Okay. Amar of Chista, Hakol Mor, Mevein L'chaim Sha'asar. All right. Now, remember, there are two ways to fix a mavui. One is through lechi, and the other is through korah. Korah is a simple slat that I put above. Again, either operating as a heker or as a mechitza. The Gemara just went over both. And then the other one is a lechi. And a lechi is just a simple vertical pole that I put on the side of the mavui, the edge of the mavui, and now the Gemara wants to know, how about going up to including the area of the lechi? So Rav Chista says, no brainer, hakol modim, everyone agrees, bevein lechaim sha'asar, that between the lechi is going to be asar. Okay, and let's take a moment and pause and think about this for just a second. By a korah, we had a major debate between six amarim, three on one side, three on the other side. And then Rav Chista casually says, or not casually, but very cleanly says, look, when it comes to lechi, we all agree. Now, why should there be a difference? Why by korah do we have a major debate, and why by lechi, at least according to Rav Chista, is there full agreement that I can't go up to the lechi, but I can't go between the lechayim? So, if you take a look at Tosfos over here, Tosfos makes a quick comment, and it's extremely insightful. Hakol modim mevein lechaim da aser. Tosfos writes taima. We're going to learn later on in this perek that when it comes to lechi, a lechi could be any width. There is no width requirement of the lechi. A lechi is just a simple vertical pole. But when we say pole, though, it could be a pole. Presumably, I'm not sure if this is going to work, but you could take scotch tape and run it along the side of the edge of the mavoi. There is no shear to the thickness of the lechi. And so Tosfos goes on to say, the lechi have afila mashu va'asila afuke. And so therefore, basically, when you're talking about a lechi which is nearly, it could be as thin as it could be, so then no one's going to see it. Avakora, but when it comes to a korah, the minimum width, we haven't seen this yet, but again, we're going to see this later on in our parak, the minimum width of a korah is the tefach. So now, to carry underneath the tefach is at least under discussion, because at least there's some substance to the korah. Korah has to be at least a tefach, but a lechi could be any amount. So therefore, Tosfos explains, that's what Rav Chista's platformed on. The fact that the lechi can be any width means that no one's going to see it. The fact that the korah is at least a tefach, we all see it. We all know it's there. And it's just now going to be a question of whether I can go directly underneath the korah. Okay. The Gemara goes on. The Gemara goes on to explain this or discuss this. By minei. Okay. By minei Rami Bar Chama Mirav Chista. Nashe Yisedis B'Shnei Kosle Mavoi Mibachutz. Okay. New question regarding the korah, and that's the following. Once again, if you have a picture over here, very helpful. Basically, two pegs are stuck at the very end of the mavui, and then a beam is placed over the pegs. So if you will, the korah now, which normally rests at the top of the walls at the end of the mavui, now it's beyond. It's after the walls, suspended by pegs that are inserted on the sides of the walls. Okay, so it's actually, right, in other words, the korah itself is directly over the Rishos Rabim, and just to make this as cleanly as possible, it's flushed against the ends of the wall of the mavoi, but it's not over the actual mavoi itself. So Amar Leila Divrei Amati, also the Divrei Hausa Mutter. Okay? So the Gemara says, well, we'll go back to our major machlokus amongst the six Amoraim, three saying that I can go up to the Korah, three saying I can go even underneath the Korah, and I'll simply say, whoever is a Mekel over there is going to be a Machmir over here. And whoever is going to be a Machmir over there is going to be a Mekel over here. Okay, now how does that work? So let's explain this via the wall scenario. Lechi, sorry. Korah Mishum Mechitza. Okay, it's a lot easier to explain if it operates as a mechitza. I mean, I'm sure we could figure it out if it operates as a heker, but it's just much easier as a mechitza. Look, we said if it operates as a mechitza, there's a question as to which end of the korah seals off the mavoi, the outer or the inner. Now, let's start off with if it's the inner. If it's the inner one, so that means that when the korah is where it should be, at the end of the mavoi, can I go underneath the korah? No. Because it's the inner portion of the korah that comes down and seals off the mavoi. Okay? Now, so he's machmir. But now if I take same korah, and now I put it, let's put it, it's usually at the end of the mavoi. Now I put it directly in front of the mavoi. So would it seal off the mavoi? Sure. Because it's the inner portion of the korah which is coming down and sealing. Now it happens to be that I'm placing it over in front of the mavui, but good. It's this portion which is acting as a sealant, we should be good. If, however, you are makel in the previous case where you're allowed to go up to the car, that means, excuse me, it means it's the outer portion of the car that's sealing. So once I bring it out here, so now it's coming in and sealing, but that's not good. Because what you want to seal is the end of the mavui. You're now sealing in front of the mavoi. So, you're right. You're now, this wall, halachic wall, sitting out there in the middle of Rosh Hashanah. So the Gemara is suggesting, I said it's easier, it's so much easier to explain. The Gemara doesn't spell all this out. But, yes. It's harder to explain. Right. This explanation is harder if it's operating as a hecker. So, okay, so good. I mean, if you take a look at Rashi suggested that all this is working through mechitza. Okay, so good. So the Gemara says this is how it's going to work out. Rava Amar LeDivrei Aser Nami Aser Bein and Karagabe Mavoi Veleka. And Rava says no, let's not be so fancy. Meaning, once the Kara is outside of the purview of the Mavoi, it's no longer in the airspace of the mavui, it's simply no good. And despite the fact that when it was inside, and there is three Amoraim of the opinion that it's the inner portion of the car that goes down, that's wonderful. But once you take it outside, it's it. It's out of the airspace of the mavui. It simply does not work. Requirement is kore al-gabe mavui, on the mavui, not in front of the mavui. And so therefore, Rav is systematically, fundamentally of the opinion that the kore has to be within the airspace of the mavui, and that would be it. Eisfe, the Gemara challenges Rava based on the following brayso. Rava, the Brahmasna, the Rava, Haisa Karasa Meshucha O Tuluya. Let's say the Kara is either in one of two situations. It's either Meshucha or it is Tuluya. Now, Tuluya is going to be easier to explain. Tuluya means that it's suspended, hanging. So, magic trick? Not exactly. Meaning, normally what's supposed to be happening with the korah, it's supposed to be extending over the walls so that it's resting actually on the walls themselves. That's the classic scenario of the korah. But let's say I don't have it long enough where it's actually hanging over the walls, but simply I suspended it, either with cables over the head. According to this picture over here, there's a pole right in the middle that's holding it up. In other words, but it's being held up not through the actual sides of the wall. Which means, obviously, that the korah is shorter than the length of the mavoi. I should say, rather, the width of the mavoi. Okay, that's tuluya. And meshucha, you see, so meshucha is going to be a little bit problematic. Meshucha means it's drawn away. And right now, what presumably it means is that it's far away from the mavoi, meaning like what we've been talking about, it's in front of the mavoi. That's what the Brisa seems to be talking about. Now, how, again, same story.
Pegs.
It could be with pegs. It could be with a beam in the middle. Either way. But parchus mi gimel tzarich lahavi karacheres. Gimel tzarich lahavi karacheres. Okay, so if it's within three tefachim of the size of the mavoi, so you're fine because anything within three, as if it's connected, that's our classic lavud. And Rav Shimon Gamliel Amar parchus mi dalin tzarich lahavi karacheres, dalin tzarich lahavi karacheres. And according to the Rashbag, Rav Shimon ben Gamliel, the same story, it's lavud, but he has the shear of lavud as being four tefachim and not three tefachim. Okay, it always bothers me. I'm sure people talk about it. In other words, what the Rambam writes in his introduction to Torah Shabbat Peh, that when it comes to Halacha Moshe Mitzinai, we won't have machlokas by Halacha Moshe Mitzinai. We'll have machlokas in terms of interpretation. We'll have machlokas in terms of Misara, but in terms of Yud Gimel Midos, but we won't have any machlokas by Halacha Moshe Mitzinai. So this is. This would be a case study where doesn't right. It, we're talking about a shear of lavud. How long do we up until what point in time do we say lavud? And we have a machlokus over here and it occurs a number of times throughout Shas between the Tanakam and Shimon Gamliel whether lavud is three or four tefachim. So it's one of those things.
It isn't a fun idea, though. Maybe it's not to make it all
lavud. No, but in other words, in other settings. Though you apply the same machlokas to daraisas as well, but you're right. In other words, our entire discussion is the rabbanon. But so anyway, so da'asarach lavi karachar. So my love. So again, now we have a brisa, and the brisa uses only two words. The one word is meshucha, and the other word is teluya. My love meshucha mebechutz, teluya mebifnim. So presumably, it's describing two different scenarios of the kara. Meshucha means it's in front. Teluya means it's suspended. But either way. Not either way, but if this is the incorrect interpretation, so now we have Meshucha, which means in front of, and the Braisa says that it is, as long as it's within three Tfachim, it'll be good. Outside that, it won't be good. So the Gemara says, Lo, idi mi bifnim. The Gemara says, incorrect, meaning that's not what the Braisa is describing over here. The Braisa is describing, and this would be a defense of Rava, because Rava will tell you that any time it's not within the airspace of the Mavui, it's no good. Rava will tell you, what about this Braisa? The Braisa here is describing where it's inside the Mavui. What about the two terms, Tuluya and Meshucha? Idi mi bifnim, Meshucha mi ruach achas, Tuluya mi shtei ruchos. And he says, look, Meshucha just simply means that it's hanging on one side of the Mavui. What about the other one? Somehow we got it to suspend over there. Through pegs, through... Or maybe it's so solidified on one side. Okay. And then Meshucha, that's Meshucha. And then Teluya means Shnei Ruchos, meaning it's literally hanging in midair, again, through cables or through a pole in the middle. That's what it means. Ma'od detema miruchachas amrin lavod, mishnei ruchos amrin lavod. Look, lavod is a principle. It's a legal mechanism. I might have thought that lavod works on one side, but to have lavod operate on both sides, to extend on both sides, to both sides of the mavoi, as a havamin, I might have thought that might not have been good. So kamash malan, that no, we're going to say lavod on both sides, even if there's a shortfall on both sides of the kara. Kamash malan. Rav Ashi Amar, the Rav Ashi will give a different pshat in the brisa. Meshucha vehi teluya. Rav Ashi says maybe the brisa is describing the following scenario. It's both Meshucha and Teluya, but it means in the following scenario: Hechidami Kegoshin Ashtei Yisteder Tzakumos Ashnei Kosle Mavui Shem Begovan Gimel VeEin BaAkmu Miyasan Gimel. So I'm going to now have it. That is the Kora, both shorter and higher than the edges of the Mavui. Well, how did I get it up there? So the Gemara describes. And once again, if you could see it in picture form, it would be extremely helpful that I basically have two pegs that are on a slant, on a diagonal, and now it's higher than the top of the kora, and it's also slightly in of the two sides of the kora. And now, essentially, what's got to happen over here in order to connect the dots, to connect the end of the kora to the edge of the mavui, is I need to say lavud, but really in two directions. I need to go lavud down. The Gemara is going to use a term for that called Chavut Rami. Chavut means to knock down. And then we're going to extend it in a horizontal direction. So here we're really making two legal movements with the Kolra. One down and one across. So... So kigon shenash, I'm sorry, what just happened? The itulay hechi damikon shenash say yisteros akomas hashne kotsa mavu sheim begovan gimel vein bak miyasan gimel mavu detema o lavur amrinan o chavut amrinan. I might have thought that legally we'll go in one direction, but lavud vichavut lo amrinan. But to do both, that's again too many legal moves. The chiddush is that would work as well. So once again, now we had a braisa which seemingly went against Rava. Rava says any time you put the korah in front of the mavui, not in the earth space of mavui, it's no good. It's simply no good. Rava says I don't care how you hold of regarding using the area underneath the korah or not using the area underneath the korah. The bottom line is that the korah has to be in the earth space of the mavui. The Gemara quoted a braisa. Braisa seems to be opposed to Rava, and the Gemara gave two interpretations of the braisa, which would be consistent with Rava. One interpretation is that the korah is deficient on one side, and or it's deficient on both sides, and we're ready to say lavud on both sides. Or the braisa is talking about where the korah is both in and higher than the edges of the mavui, where halachically we can do both. Move it down just a bit, and spread it out just a bit, using the concepts of chavud rami and the concepts of lavud. Okay. Tani Rabbi Zaka kama de Rav Yochanan ben Lachaim v'tachas hakara nidon k'karmelis. Okay. You know how it works. They said over the braises, they said the braises in front of the Rebbeim, and they looked for the Rebbeim to basically either thumbs up or thumbs down for the braisa. Okay? So, the Rabbi Zakkai brought his braisa in front of Rabbi Yochanan in order to fact check. How's this braisa? And the braisa reads, Bein Lechayayim, V'tachas HaKorah, the area between the Lachis and the area directly underneath the Korah, has a karmelus status. Okay? By karmelus status, it just simply means you can't carry in that area. Okay, the braisa uses terminology of karmelus, but it's a borrowed term in this context. Basically, you can't carry within that area. Amar lei. Rav Yochanan hears the braisa. What's his response? Poktani bra. So, right, you see the door over there? Good. Exit. You see the braisa? Teach it outside. In other words, the braisa does not belong in the base medrash. There is no validity towards that braisa. Now, Amar Abai Mr. Milsad Rav Yochanan. Now, we know that Rav Yochanan categorically reject the braisa, but the braisa really was making two separate points. The braisa was talking about the area in between the lachi, which, if you remember, just not that long ago, Rav Chista said, everyone agrees that that's asur. And then the braisa said, underneath the korah, which we start off the daf today by pointing out, major machlokus amongst six different Amoraim. So Rav Yochanan takes a very strong position. Now, by the way, if you go back to the beginning of today's daf, where we started, Ma'ali Shamashach of the Korah, so it was Rab, Rebbe Chia, Rav Yochanan, who all say Mutter Lishamashach of the Korah, that you're allowed to use the area directly under the Korah. So, now that this Braisa was presented to Rav Yochanan, and now that Rav Yochanan rejected the Braisa, what part of the Braisa exactly did he reject? So, I'm Rabbi, Mr. Abba, Milsa, the Rav Yochanan, Tachas HaKorah, Vabein L'chayim Aser. So, Abaye says that it would make sense that Rav Yochanan's rejection is underneath the Korah, which again, going back to the beginning of today's daf, we knew that already. Going into the discussion, we knew that Rav Yochanan was okay using the area underneath the Korah. But the area between the Lachayim, he says that it's Aser. And now what we could do, if you put the whole daf together, is we could take Abaye and we could put him right alongside Rav Chista. Meaning that's exactly what Rav Chista said at the bottom of the previous Amud. Rava Amar, Bein Lechayayim, Nami Mutter. And Rava's now going to disagree. And Rava's going to say, no, the area in between the Lechi is also going to be permissible. Now, obviously, it's interesting because the Gemara presents Rava over here. I mean, the Gemara could have inserted Rava right after Rav Chista. I mean, Rav Chista says, HaKomodim Bebein Lechaim Shaster. He feels that according to everybody, it's going to be Aser. Well, when he said everybody, he was referring to the six Amorayim. But it comes out now that according to Rava, Rava disagrees. It makes sense that Rava's not in this list of six Amorayim. These six Amorayim were early Amorayim. Rav, Rabbi Chia, Rav Yochanan. I mean, they're all first generation Amorayim. Rava came later, so I do kind of understand why Rav Chista why the Gemara didn't stern Rava back then. Either way, the point being is that Rava disagrees that you're allowed to carry things in the Mavui, even up to, even including the area of the Lechi. So Amar Rava Minamin Allah. So here we go now. So we're going to be discussing, basically, can I carry things in the Mavui up to and including the Lechi? So the Gemara says this for the following reason. Look, we learned in the beginning of Masechet Shabbos an area called a Makom Patur. Okay, Makom Patur, look, there are four different domains in Shabbos. Rishos Rabim, we just spoke about it at length on Dav Vav. Rishos Yachid, okay. Those are the two Torah-defined areas. Then there's the area of the Karmelis. Karmelis is basically any area that the Chachamim designed and designated that you're not allowed to carry in such an area. Not only are you not allowed to carry in a Karmelis, you're also not allowed to transfer from Rishos Yachid to a Karmelis, from Rishos Rabim to a Karmelis. Okay, good. And then we have a Makom Patur. And what's Makom Patur? Literally, an exempt area. And that's what it is. Meaning, once you have an area which is a Makom Patur, which doesn't define neither as a Rishos Yachid, Rishos Rabim, or a Karmelis, so then you're allowed to, now I'd say carrying a Makom Patur, but as we're learning right now, a Makom Patur is a very thin area. So you're not going to be carrying within a Makom Patur, but what you can do is you can take an item and transfer it from a Rishos Yachid to a Makom Patur. You can take an item and transfer from a Rishos Rabim to a Makom Patur. Now, by the way, what is a Makom Patur? Makom Patur is in any protrusion that comes out of the ground that's not 4x4 in area and is, well, if it's in a Rishos Rabim, it's got to be over 10 tefachim high. But but anyway, it's in any area like a fire hydrant, a pole, okay? So this is something where you could, min haTorah and midrabanan, transfer something from Rishos Rabim to the Makom Patur, from the Rishos Yachid to the Makom Patur. Here's the only thing you can't do, even though technically it would work. I can't start on Rishos Yachid, put it down on a Makom Patur, then step around to the Rishos Rabim, and now pick it up off the Makom Patur, because essentially what I just did is, through a little subterfuge, and a circuitous route, I transfer from Rishos Yachid to Rishos Rabim. That you can't do. Now, presumably that won't violate Issa D'Oraisa because the Akira and the Hanacha were both done onto the Makom Patur, but point being is that the Chachamim do not want you to do that. Probable reason why, because then your next move is just going to do it directly without using the Makom Patur as the intermediate. Anyway, what's the Gemara's point with all this? So now, why is this supportive of Rava? Because Rava was trying to argue that the area between the Lechi, right? Sorry, let's go back to the Rav Yochanan. In other words, Rav Yochanan rejected the Braisa. And Rav Yochanan's rejection of the Braisa is, no, it's good. And the way Rava understands it's good, meaning it's good both underneath the Korah and between the Lechi. And why should that be? Because it's such a narrow area, meaning it's a Makom Patur. And so therefore, it should be fine to go up to and including the area of the Lechi. So the Gemara says, no, Abaye, Hasam Begav Gimel. Look, that's a Makom Patur. A Makom Patur needs to have a certain height. Here we're talking about the actual Mavui itself. There's no raise in the floor. The only way that we know that we got to the end of the Mavui is because of Lechi on the side. Maybe Rav Yochanan would agree. Although I can go underneath the Korah, I can't go directly next to, alongside the Lechi. Amar Abaye Menamin Allah, now Abaye says, now I'm going to prove my case. And my case is that when Rav Yochanan rejected the Braisa, and he told the author of the Braisa, take the Braisa outside, he was rejecting the Korah. Meaning the Braisa says he can't go underneath the Korah, Rav Yochanan says, of course he can go under the Korah. But as far as the Lechi is concerned, no, he agrees that you can't go alongside the Lechi. How do I know this? I'm Rav Chama Bar Gurya. I'm Rav Tocha Pesach Tzarech Leche Acher Lehatiro. What if you're within the Pesach, within the entrance? Within the entrance requires another Lechi. Meaning, you want to carry in the Mavui, you can go up to the entrance. you want to go right alongside the entrance, you're going to need another lechi to be placed at the edge of the entrance. And so now, what do you want to argue? You want to argue, well, that entrance already is dalad al dalad. It's already 4x4. The Amar Rav Chanan bar Rav Amar Rav Tocha Pesach Chafa Pishem Bo Dalad al Dalad Tzarich Lechi Achil Lahatiro. However, we will learn that even if it's less than 4x4, you still need a new lechi in order to be matir. So once again, even though something itself is acting as a lechi, I can't carry within that area unless I make a lechi for the lechi. And that would, of course, mean if I want to make a lechi for a lechi, I can only carry up to the second lechi, but not between the second lechi. So again, it's pretty clear that you're not allowed to carry alongside the lechi.
How many lechis did you have to put along the whole thing?
Just wait. So Rava says, you know, that statement that you can't carry alongside the lechi, that's only if the mavu is opening up to a karmelis. So, aval l'rishos harabim, my shari. But if it was opened up to rishos harabim, then it would be permitted. Now, the Gemara says, let's think about this for just a moment. Well, what you're arguing now is the following. I have an entrance to the mavui. I put a lechi in order to correct the mavui. We're now arguing about carrying not only up to the lechi, but right alongside the lechi as well. And now, essentially, you're telling me, well, if the lechi, if the whole mavui structure is opening up to a karmelis, then it's going to be a problem. Then I can't carry alongside the lechi. But if it opens up to Rishos Rabim, oh, that's fine. The Gemara says, if you think about that, you realize it's backwards. In fact, the Gemara has a great description to describe backwards. Yitziva ba'ara v'kiyura b'shmei shemayim. In other words, we have the Netziv. The Netziv means the leader is right here on the ground, and the giyura over here, the term for ger, meaning a stranger, is up in the heavens. You're taking the karmelis and you're giving the karmelis more status and more prohibition than the rishos harabim. If the mavui is adjacent to a karmelis, then I can only go up to the lechi. I can't go alongside the lechi. But if it's up to rishos harabim, that's okay. Tempt fate. Go not only up to the lechi, go right alongside the lechi. Like, honestly, the Gemara is saying, how does that make any sense? So the Gemara in. Gemara says, no, it's not so bad. Matza min esmino v'neor. Now, a borrowed phrase, meaning this is not where you're going to normally find matza min esmino v'neor. It's really a Tarovis phrase, but a borrowed phrase, but basically describing the following. Look, when the Mavui is right alongside a karmelis, the area that is directly alongside the lechi, which of course is at the edge of the Mavui, that area has a karmelis-like status. Now, if that sounds strange, first of all, it sounds a little bit strange, but that's exactly the way the Braisa described it. The Braisa says that bein lechayim v'tachas akor nidon k'karmelis. It almost has like a karmelis-like status, meaning if it has any type of status, and that's a big if, but if it does, it's like a karmelis. So once I put it alongside another karmelis, so what do I have? Matza menes mino v'neor. One type found its similar type, and so to say, woke it up. So in other words, the area of the bein alachayim now starts to take form and shape and status because it's right alongside something of its same type. Meaning, I can't carry in the karmelis area. Why? Because it's a karmelis. So if I'm able to carry bein alachayim, which could have karmelis status, so I'll say to myself, look, I'm carrying between the bein lechayim, and just keep going. It's the same thing anyway. So there you have to stop up to the bein lechayim. But if the mavui adjusts the rishus harabim, and so now basically I have this in-between lechi area, which could have status, but even if it does have status, what are we talking about? Karmelis status at best, and then it's right alongside the rishus harabim. No one's going to transfer. You're not allowed to transfer from a karmelis to a rishos harabim. No one's going to transfer from a karmelis to a rishos harabim. Okay, hard gemara to understand. Honestly, I explained it in the simplest level, but that's basically what the gemara is suggesting. Amle Rav Huna Bered Rav Yehoshua Le Rav Avalo Tizbra Debein L'chaim Aser. The Gemara says, look, you don't agree with me that the area between the L'chaim are going to be prohibited. V'ham Rav Abarachanam Rav Yochanan Mavui Sheratzva B'lechayayim. Let's say have a Mavui that has consecutive lechis, one after another after another. Once again, if you have a picture, it's so helpful. So at the edge of the Mavui, as it opens up to the Rishus HaRabim, so I have lechi, 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 lechi. I'm only following the picture over here. Could be more than four. But I have four lechayayim run right next to another. Each one of them is less than four tfachim between one another. Banu l'machlokis, Rashbag v'Rabbanan. So now, we've arrived at the machlokis of Shimon Gamliel and the Chachamim. Remember the top of the Amud? According to Shimon Gamliel, lavud is anything less than four. According to the Tanakhama, lavud is anything less than three. So here now I have lechi next to lechi next to lechi next to lechi. They're within four of one another. So according to the Rashbag, who holds that we're going to say lavud, so now I have one continuous lechi. It's a case study. In other words, what would be the functionality of it? You only need one of those four. But it's just a case study where now I have four and they're near one another. And because they're within four tefachim, so the Rashbag would say it's really one. And I'm sorry. Banu l'machlok is Rashbag v'Rabban. Li Rashbag damar amin lavod. Mishamish ad chudo hapanimi shalechi. Chudo hapanimi shalechi hapanimi. So now the issue becomes, look, I can only go up to the lechi. It's just a question of which lechi are we talking about. According to the Rashbag, who says lavud, says that these four really represent one. So that means then that it's not four sticks, it's one. That means that when I'm walking from the back of the mavoi up to the lechi, up to the rishus harabim, I can only go up to the inside of the inner lechi because it's really all one, according to the Rashbag. According to the Chachamim, I can pass the first, I can pass the second, I can go to the third, I can go up to the fourth, but not any further than the fourth because this one is a standalone lechi. It's not within three tefachim of the lechi next to it. So it's a standalone lechi, so I can go up to the fourth. In this discussion, again, it's just another permutation of the lavud machlokus. But what's clear and an assumption going into this discussion is that I can go up to, but not between the lechayayim. Once again, a proof for Abaye that you can't walk between the lechayayim. V'rava hasam nami de pasuch lekarmelis. And again, Rava will tell you, yes, you're right. But you know what the case is? It's open up into a karmelis. And the Gemara goes through the same exact exchange. Aval Rishus Rabbim, my Shari, so what does that mean? Opening up to Rishus Rabbim would be permissible? Yitziva ba'ara v'giyura b'shmei Shemaya. Again, the logic seems absolutely in the reverse, that you're giving more prohibition to karmelis than you are to Rishus Rabbim. And the Gemara says, that's absolutely correct. Matzamina ismino v'nei or. Gemara says, yeah, because the area between the lechayim could be karmelis-like when it's up, when it goes right up against a karmelis. So then, matzamin is mino. Okay, Rav Ashi Amar Kigon Sheritzva b'lechayim pachos me'arba'a b'meshech arba amos. Rav Ashi gives a different explanation, meaning Rav Ashi again wants to defend Rav's position that you're allowed to carry between the two lechayim. Perhaps, I'm suggesting, Rav Ashi doesn't subscribe to this whole matzah minus mino argument, but Rav Ashi says maybe what we could argue is the following. Look, we'll start off with the same scenario. It is a number of lechayayim, one next to another, and it actually extends as much as four amos. The meshech arba amos. According to Rav Shimon Gamliel, since each one of these poles is these 2x4s, is within four tefachim one or the other, so then it's one long continuum. Havalei mavui. And if it's one long continuum and it goes four amos, so then that becomes its own self-standing mavui. Remember, towards the beginning of the Masechta, we had a discussion about how deep, what's the minimum shear of depth of a mavui. Our two options were either four tefachim or four amos. So our Gemara, by the way, over here, clearly sides with the position that it's four amos. Once you've arrived at the point of four amos, now it's a self-standing mavoi. So then, yes, then so once it becomes its own mavoi, according to Shem and Gamliel, Damar Amilah, Avod Havalei Mavoi, Tzarech Lechi Acher La'atiro. That's why I need a new lechi. But according to the Chachamim, because the 2x4s are only within 4 tvachim of one another and not 3 tvachim of one another, so then there's no principle of lavud. It's not one long continuum. So that last 2x4 serves as a self-standing lechi for the entire mavoi. Okay. The Gemara wonders, why do I need another lechi? Don't we have the principle of nir b'mechutz v'shabim b'mifnim? You came with us, you heard the daf yesterday, you've heard that you were introduced already to that concept once yesterday. Something that can be seen from the outside but not from the inside, debatable whether or not that could serve as a wall, not only for the outside but for the inside as well. So the Gemara says, if we have a lechi, in other words, if we have the construct of 2x4, 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 so it is near b'machutz v'shavim b'bifnim, but at least it's near b'machutz, you can see it from the outside, clearly as a lechi, so shouldn't it be able to be serving as a lechi? Midutai ma'ala Rav Yochanan. So the Gemara says, yeah, but we are right now trying to defend Rava and Rav Yochanan, and we know, ha'kiyasa Ravin, amar Rav Yochanan, near b'machutz v'shavim b'bifnim, Eino nido mishum lechi. And Rav Yochanan says that this principle of nir b'bechut v'shab b'mifnim does not make something into a lechi, and so therefore that would not be a good defense in terms of explaining Rabbi Yochanan. Okay, quickly, let's just quickly recap before we go on. We have now, basically it's been one basic issue that's almost covered the entire daf, a couple of other discussions, but I can carry it. Once I put a lechi or korah at the end of the mavoi, I can carry in the mavoi. Okay. And that's your tikkun mavoi. The question has become, what about underneath the korah? And the question has become, what about between the lechayim? Underneath the korah, we started the daf off today by saying that's a major debate amongst the amorayim. 6 amorayim debate this issue. Rav, Rav Chia, Rav Yochanan, and all say that it's mutter, which by the way is the halacha. Shmuel, Rabbi Shimon Barebi, and Reish Lakish all say that it's aser. Okay. And the Gemara gave a number of explanations of why that should be, how to explain the machlokis. And then the rest of today's daf deal with what about between the lechi? What if instead of putting a korah on the top of the mavoi, I put a lechi along the side in order to be matir? Can I carry bein ha-lechayim? This is turning into another machlokis, although Rav Chista said ha-kol modim, well, everyone agrees, according to Rav Chista, that it would be mutter. Sorry. According to Rav Chista, everyone agrees that's going to be aser, but then the Gemara basically turned it into a machlokes between Abai and Rava. Rava was of the opinion that it's mutter, and Abai is of the opinion that it is aser. And then, majority of the daf is either a support or an attack on Abai and Rava's positions. Okay, and we continue. The Gemara now, as long as we talked about the nir b'mechutz b'shav b'mifnim, now the Gemara is going to have a very basic discussion of this debate. Itmar. Nir b'mifnim v'shav b'mechutz, nido mishum lachi. If it can be seen from the inside, even though from the outside it makes no visual difference, that works, that serves as a lachi. So, if you have, again, pictures are so helpful over here. So in other words, the lachi runs flush along the outer wall. Okay, so in other words, from the outside, it basically looks totally in line with the wall. And now, from the inside, however, it's clear what we're looking at is a lechi. Okay, picture number 65. If you have the good book, good. And everybody agrees that that works. What about the other one? How about shavim mibifnim v'nirim mibachutz? So that means that when you're standing inside the mavui, I can't really tell that there's a lechi over there. When I'm standing from the outside, oh, there it is. Meaning, it's flush against the outer wall of the mavui. So here, see it from the outside, but when you're standing inside, basically looks like continuation of wall. So on this, Rabbi Chiv, Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Chanamar, Nidam Mishum Lechi, V'Chanamar, Eino nido mishum lechi. So the Gemara over here brings the machlokas between Amorayim as to whether or not it. early Amoraim, whether or not it serves as a lechi. I think we can safely conclude that according to Rabbi Chiya, it works as a lechi. Why? Did ni Rabbi Chiya koso shitsiro echa kenos mechavero? If I have a wall where one of its sides is withdrawn inside, okay, so again, if you have a picture, it's extraordinarily helpful. So basically now I have a mavoi where on one of the walls it recedes a little bit. From the outside, totally could see that it doesn't continue all the way to the end. From the inside, looks like a mavoi. Looks like we have not fixed the mavoi at all. Bein shenir ben b'chutz v'shav b'mifnim, u'bein shenir ben b'fnim v'shav ben b'chutz, nidom mishom lachi. Okay? So so it operates, either way it operates as a lechi. Whether it's noticeable from the inside, or whether it's only noticeable from the outside. So the Gemara says, tis tayim. All right, good. Wonderful. So we have a braisa that clearly is of the position that, and the braisa is brought to us by Rabbi Chiya, that whether or not the lechi can or cannot be seen from the inside, even if the lechi can only be seen from the outside, it works. Rav Yochanan Milo Shmieleha. So, Ela Shmieleha Velo Savala. So the Gemara says, well, what about Rav Yochanan? He didn't teach the Braisa? So the Gemara says, no, he held to the Braisa. He had the Braisa. He just didn't hold to the Braisa. He didn't agree with the Braisa. So Rabbi Chiya Nami, lo sevela. So the Gemara says, can't you make the same argument regarding Rabbi Chiya? So the Gemara says, no, there's a major difference. Hai mai, bisham Rav Yochanan, lo sevela, misham hachi lo tanila. Look, Rav Yochanan may have known about the Braisa. He never taught the Braisa. However, El Rav Chiya, Iisad Lo Savala, Lama Lele Misne. But Rabbi Chiya, if he disagreed with the Braisa, why would he go out and broadcast the Braisa? Why would he be teaching the Braisa? It simply makes no sense that Rabbi Chiya would both have the Braisa, compose the Braisa, and then start teaching the Braisa. It must be that he actually holds of the Braisa. Okay, so we'll stop over here, but basically, now we're on the topic of what if I have a lechi that's not clearly a lechi from both perspectives, from inside and outside? So, to which the Gemara is essentially going to say that if it can be seen from the inside, even though it can't really tell from the outside, we're all going to say that's fine. If it can be seen from the outside but not from the inside, now we're going to get involved in a major debate. Tomorrow we're going to continue the debate of nir b'mechutz v'shav b'mifnim. And we'll continue in general with this discussion of walls that are only viewable from one perspective, but not from two separate perspectives. Continue before Shlema v'Yamin Zev HaKohen Ben Sharon Rivka. Yeah. And Rafal Zakai Avraham Ben Yakir Avigal. Rabbi Chananya Ben Akash Amar Ratzak Hashbaruch Hu Zakir Zalficha Chir Bem Torah Mitzvah Shenemar Anay Chafetz Matzikol Yagdil Torah V'Yadir.